What's up, nerds? This is Jordan Quent. You're listening to episode 5 of Quintessential. All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm glad to be here. I hope you are too. Here's the problem. I'm going to be honest with you. Open and honest relationship here. I never know how to start this. I just don't know how. Do I say, hey, how you doing? Or do I just go right into it? You know what I mean? Do we do the pleasantries or do we dive right in? Maybe both. Maybe a little bit of both. But what I'm trying to say is I'm back in the studio. We're doing another episode and I'm excited to be here. I hope you are too. And let's just get right into it, I guess. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me fill you in here, okay? I just got back an hour ago, I just got back from a road trip that I went on this weekend. So I'm a little tired and I've been drinking some energy drinks to get fired up. I think it's having an adverse effect. It's making me want to go to sleep. But either way, just got back from a road trip. I went up north this weekend with my wife and daughters. We went up to my in-laws' cabin because there was a wedding happening up there. So we drove up, hung out for the weekend. We just got home in time for me to record. Perfect timing. And I want to talk about it. A lot of funny stuff happened on the trip. I'm excited to talk about it. I haven't told my producer about any of the stuff either, so I'm excited. But anyone who lives in Arizona, well, first off, we were going to get to the cabin, going to leave. And of course, my wife loses her phone. She always loses her phone, right? Oh, cool. Hey, cool. Squeaked. My voice cracked. Haven't done that since I was 12. So feeling pretty not good right now after that just happened. But what are you going to do, huh? So my wife loses her phone all the time. It's really annoying. I love her so much, but I hate it so much when that happens. We're going to the cabin. We're in a rush. We got 2 babies, you know. Load the stuff up, get them in there, get the shows on or whatever, get them distracted. As we're leaving the house, going out the door, my wife says, do you have my phone? No, it's not my phone. I don't have it. So we have to go back in the house, look for it. I have to call it. She's getting all mad at me as if I did anything. And it's super annoying. But we finally were on the trip and I had a lot of fun driving there because we were doing some Instagram polls. On my Instagram, I love doing these polls with people, seeing what their opinions are on certain things. And I always do little stuff like, I think we did Hot Pocket. I don't know if you remember, Adam, it doesn't matter. But I remember I did Hot Pockets. Like, do people like ham and cheese or pizza? And same thing with the Lunchables. Oh, this is why. Because when on our way up, we stopped at the gas station, got Lunchables for the kids. And we ate them. We pretty much ate the whole things. Our kids didn't even eat them. But my wife and I were talking about when we were kids, what flavors they had, which ones we preferred, which ones our parents bought. Ham and cheese or pizza. And they have other ones. But then we started talking about the Hot Pockets, which is ham and cheese versus pizza. Put a lot of different things on the Instagram asking people what they prefer. And I was surprised because I was in the minority on all of them. I prefer ham and cheese Hot Pockets and Lunchables. And apparently nobody else does, which is kind of weird. We talked about things like fruit roll-ups, gushers, stuff like that. Which, by the way, fruit roll-ups, I don't know if anyone else has the same problem. The fruit roll-ups aren't the ones that like are rolled up in a yo-yo. I thought that was a fruit roll-up because, I mean, it rolls up and it's like 2 feet long or 3, whatever. But the fruit roll-ups are the boring ones that have the tattoos on them, I think. Which is stupid. It's a marketing error that they have on that company. It's stupid. I could do the job. Honestly, anyone who works at fruit roll-up company, whatever the company is called, I'm the man for the job, okay? My schedule's wide open. I could do it better than your marketing team because they failed. They just did, okay? Anyway, I'm rambling on. Did a bunch of polls. It's really fun to do those. I do them all the time. I like to see what people prefer. And if we had the same childhood, you know, because when I was a kid, there were certain things I did and I really liked and that are nostalgic for me now. And it's interesting to see if people have the same things from their childhood. A lot of the polls have been really fun. One I just did today, at least the day I'm recording this, is I was talking to people about, because I was going pee, and I was thinking, what do I do with my other hand? Because I don't know. I'm usually on my phone, but I didn't want to. I didn't have it. So I wanted to ask people what they do. And a surprising amount of people, too many people, if I'm being honest, too many guys say that their other hand goes on their pants to hold it out of the way. What does that mean? They say, I hold my pants out of the way so I don't pee on my pants while I'm going pee. Why does anyone have this problem? How is it possible that your pants are getting in the way of the pee? I don't understand that. Unless what you're telling me is you have the smallest wiener imaginable. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. You got a tiny weenie. If you're peeing on your pants somehow, then you got a little weenie and go to your doctor about it and get it fixed. You know what I mean? Because that's the problem. And you shouldn't be having that problem, okay? So that was really weird. A lot of my followers were telling me that. And now I know how small the wiener is. I didn't expect that today. Just having a normal day. Cool. Got the whooping cough. Remember the whooping cough in elementary school? I don't know if that's even a real thing. But I remember when I was a kid, my mom always had to tell me that she was getting... who cares about the whooping cough? I don't know why I brought it up. But I'm having a lot of fun with the interaction with people on the Instagram, people sending stuff in, people doing the polls, asking me questions, whatever. It's been a lot of fun. I like doing them. I want to do them a lot more. One of my favorite things about it is people reaching out and telling me things that they want me to talk about or things that they are recommending things to me. I think that's really fun because a lot of people have different things that they like. And one of my buddies, this made me laugh. One of my buddies reached out to me the other day and told me, hey, I was listening to your episode where you talk about TV shows and movies and have you ever watched anime? Because there's so many good ones. I told him, no, not really. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched Avatar: The Last Airbender. I think a lot of us did that are my same age. That's kind of it. Anime is not really my style. It just like, I'm sure there's a lot of good ones and I'm open to it, but it just makes me think of like, I can't even think of an example. I've never seen any, but it makes me think of the artwork where they're like, oh, you know, their eyes get all big and they have like, they get mad and they have like that plus sign looking thing on their, like by their, on their temple, on their face. You know what I mean? It makes me think of, I mean, I guess it's Naruto where he runs with his arms behind his back. It just makes me laugh, dude. I mean, there's a lot of really like dorky anime shows, at least that I have seen on things. I never watched them, but he told me a huge list of ones he wants me to watch. He's really passionate about it to the point where he told me, he's like, hey, download, what's it called? I wrote it down. Crunchyroll. I guess that's a streaming service. It has a bunch of anime on it. And he gave me his username and password. And he's like, just watch these shows. They're really good. And I trust him. He's a good guy. He's got great hair. So he knows what he's doing for sure. He's a trustworthy guy. So I'll give it a shot. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll like them. I have a list written down and maybe I'll like it a lot and maybe I'll talk about it on here to recommend to you guys because you know that's my problem. But you know me, I'm a Mr. Open-minded guy, you know, making a change, going out of my comfort zone a little bit on the TV shows. I told you I watched ones that are not in English because that was really fun and they're some of the best shows I've seen. And you know what, actually? This just made me think of video games. I don't know why, but I love video games. I have for a long time. Ever since I was a kid, my older siblings had, you know, the Nintendo 64 and the Super Nintendo, stuff like that. So I grew up playing video games, but I always have been like, I don't even know how to word it. I've always had a type that I like, you know? I played Mario and stuff when I was a kid, and then I grew up in junior high playing Call of Duty. That's kind of it. And you get stuck in these, like, I don't know why I can't think of the word. I have a like genre that I like and I just have done those. But in the past few years, because of friends recommending things, I've gone out of my comfort zone a little bit with video games and played ones that are like a little different and I like them a lot. And so it's led me down this, path of playing games and same with TV shows and movies that like they're so nerdy, if I'm being honest, but they're so fun. And this reminds me of something. And I'm going to call two people out, and one of them is named Adam, and he's my producer, and he's in the room here, okay? There's this game that I love, and it's called Dark Souls, okay? It's very nerdy sounding, actually very nerdy game. Guess what, baby? Fighting dragons. You know me. I'm out there with a big, long sword. You know how I do it, okay? The game's called Dark Souls. It's very difficult, and that's just how they are. A lot of people have been talking about them over there's a lot of them. I think there's three, and then there's a prequel one. It's really good. They're really hard. There's no mini map. You can't save it. You have to save it at certain points. There's no instructions on what to do. It's really hard, and I like it a lot. It's so satisfying. It's one of my favorite games, and I told Adam years ago to play it. He got a PS4 at the time, and he was like, what do I play? I told him to play it. He said no. I brought it up again, and he said no again, and then listen to this crap. This made me so mad. Like a year or two later, when they moved down here, I don't know what brought this up, but we were talking at family dinner and he says to me, hey man, you ever heard of this game called Dark Souls? can you believe the nerve on this guy? I go, yeah, dude. He's like, oh, one of my friends told me to play it and it's so good. I just really like it so much. Hey, man, what you doing? You don't want to listen to me. You want to listen to your friend, huh?
This is highly exaggerated.
No, it's not, okay? Not highly exaggerated. Exactly how it went. And I can't believe it. And the gall on this guy, the balls on this man right here to not listen to me. Everyone, dude, okay, going off tangent, okay? This happens to me all the time. I recommend things to somebody or I say, like, we should do this. No one wants to listen to me. And then someone comes to me and says, hey, I have an idea, and tells me the same thing that I recommended to them. And now apparently it's such a great thing, okay? So Adam, my producer, now he finally likes this game and he's played it and it's really good. I don't know if he's beat it, but it's amazing and whatever. So another person I want to call out is Michael. I always talk about him. I don't know why, whatever. But same with him. Told him to play it. He didn't like it. He didn't want to listen to me and then he finally did. Now he's obsessed with them. Hasn't stopped playing. And this game is... I'm not going to talk about it too much, but okay, you know what? This episode is sponsored by Dark Souls, okay? Everyone go out and buy a copy. For every person that buys one, they give me 69 cents every single time. So make sure and go out there and buy one so I can get some money, gosh dang. But it's got me started on these nerdy games. I really got into, like, my wife got me a Nintendo Switch a few years ago for Christmas, and as if anyone knows, all the video games on there are just, like, Mario games and stuff, but there's some really good Japanese role-playing games, JRPGs. Oh, dude, I hate even saying it. It sounds so nerdy, but they're so good. It's like Pokemon and stuff. Oh, gosh. Okay. Might have to stop recording because I'm not going to have any sex after this episode comes out. Do you understand? I need all the help I can get. Now I'm telling people I play Pokemon, dude? That's my childhood. I don't know. I love nostalgic stuff. It's bringing me back playing these old games, but... I'll stop talking about video games. If anyone cares about them, you can talk to me on Instagram, see if you want me to talk about something. You know, actually, this is kind of random, but I just thought about this. I've always wanted to play, to do Twitch streaming and play video games and, like, have it be streamed. That'd be so fun. I'll have to look into that. That'd be really fun. One of my buddies does that, Brandon Butler, Buttskis on Twitch. It sounds really fun. I've always wanted to do it, and I think that'd be cool, but I don't know what to play. I'm not really good at anything. I just, like, I don't know. Who cares? But I'll stop talking about video games. So the wedding was cool. We drove up for a wedding, like I said. I've done this drive 1,000 times up to my in-law's cabin. It's not far, and anyone who knows Arizona knows that when you're driving up north, there's this big sign about an hour away from town. There's this big sign, and then there's another one you pass that says something about like an adult cabaret, a topless bar. And every single time I've driven past it, no matter who I'm with, and I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this who lives in Arizona can agree with me, every time I've driven past it, somebody makes the joke of, oh, we should stop at the titty bar on the way up. Every time. Dude, even when I was in scouts, family trips, and now I'm a dad. So of course, every time I drive past it, I have to make a joke about it. And I was talking to my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, I mean, talking to him about, hey, are you gonna come up? And I made a joke about, if you do, we'll go to the strip club or whatever. And we were talking and he told me, hey, I have a really funny story about the strip club. So I'm going to read it to you. And I haven't asked him if it's okay, but it's okay. I'm just going to read it anyway. Let me find it. All right. So he said, I straight up stopped at the nudie bar in Payson one time on accident. I was taking a trailer of lumber up to the cabin and stopped for a beer before the big push. That's because it goes uphill. And I became friends with the owner. His name's Steve. Oh, he said some illegal stuff after that, so I'll skip that part. He said, there was this one girl there, and he made her dance on stage for me, and I was the only person there. It was so damned weird. She didn't like it, and I didn't either, but he stood in the corner and watched us hate it together. He said, by accident, I mean, I thought it was just a normal bar. Steve just bought it, and then he says some stuff about revamping it. But he said, the girl there was a waitress and not one of the strippers, and he made her strip for me, kinda. She didn't take everything off, but I didn't see anything. But she went and changed just to half strip and came back. It was so weird. I tipped her $20 just to make my guilt go away. They didn't have bathrooms. They had J. John's out back, and she went to change in one. I later peed in one and didn't know she changed there till I peed in one and realized that she had said she had to change in the bathroom. She meant the J. John. None of this is fake. She talked to me the whole time and said, I'm not a stripper. I'm just a part-time waiter that lives 2 miles away. She also worked at the gas station. And dude, So I know that's a random story, but my brother-in-law, he's so funny. He's so wild. And there's this one story I really wanted to talk about. About a year ago, I found a barber here in town. It does a really good job. He does my other brother-in-law, Adam's hair too. Dang, this is the brother-in-law episode, huh? It's going to be real confusing. He does really good. He's this Mexican guy named Felipe. He barely speaks any English. He's probably 40 years old and he lines my shit up, dude. He gives me the best fade in town. It's annoying because I get so many ribbons and trophies for having the best fade in town after I get a haircut. It's annoying. I don't have any shelf space for them. And I feel like Michael Phelps walking around with all the like all the gold medallions or whatever. What are they even called? Why can't I think of it? Medal, gold medal around my neck for best fade in town. And it's annoying. I go every month to get a haircut. Haven't in a while. But so Felipe, he's great. Shout out to Felipe. My brother-in-law, Nick, my wife's brother, he said, hey man, he asked me for Felipe's number. He said he wanted to get a haircut. And listen to this, okay? This is a while ago, but I get a text from my father-in-law, or gosh dang it, dude. I get a text from my brother-in-law, Nick, and he sent me a screenshot of the text he sent to my barber, Felipe. So I hope this makes sense so far to everybody. He said, this is my brother-in-law to Felipe, who again, doesn't speak English and is 40 years old, okay? He says, the text says, hi, my name happens to be Nick. I had little to no say in it. Have I told you this, Adam? Yeah. Not that it matters that much in the grand scheme of things. I'm Jordan Quint's brother-in-law. He tells me you're the best haircuttist in town, and I was wondering if I could find out if that's true sometime this week. Let me know if you have any openings. Thanks. So that's really funny and weird. So I thought it'd be funny. I responded with photoshopping the text he sent me and kind of blurring out the words like they do in Black Ops stuff. You know, they like blur stuff out or and whatever. And so the same text I made it say after messing with it, hi, me Nick, Jordan Quint's brother-in-law, haircut, thanks. And I told him, you should have just said this. And so then my brother-in-law sends that same text to Felipe. So now this Mexican guy has to see that confusing message from him again. I told Nick, I said, like, dude, you're going to mess up my thing with this guy. What are you doing? You're being crazy. And that was the end of it. Then I get a text at 1 a.m., dude. I get a text at 1 a.m. from Nick, and it's a screenshot of the conversation. And he texted Felipe at 1 in the morning, hashtag Team Jacob, hashtag Twilight. This poor man. And the next thing, and I told him, like, dude, stop. Like, leave him alone. And then I didn't hear from Nick until the next day. He sends me a picture of his hair, and he said he'd messed it up. He did it too short or whatever. He hated his haircut. And that's probably why. Because he was just harassing this poor man. But he's hilarious, dude. I'd love to have him on. He has so many wild stories, which would be really fun. But anyway, I'm jumping around a lot. Basically, drove past the strip club, went up to the cabin. We have a lot of fun. We go up there often. You know, we go all the time. We have our own designated rooms. The girls love it too. We have a lot of fun, play sports and mess around. And it doesn't matter, but basically this cabin, it has a bunch of land, and they just barely had somebody, a kid they know, move into the guest house, and he's going to like take care of the cabin year round. So we got there late at night. Everyone was kind of already asleep and whatever, just like hanging out. We put our girls to bed, and then we were sitting in the living room. Allie and I, my wife and I, were sitting in the living room, and let me try and set the stage. The living room is just like fireplace and couches, and there's this big like 30-foot sliding glass door. It's really pretty. So we're sitting there by the fire, and I was standing up dancing around trying to make Allie laugh. I don't know how to explain it. I do this ugly dance where I like pop my knees around. It looks like I have knobby knees. It was making her laugh, and I'm just messing around. And I hear this knocking on the sliding glass door. I look over, and the kid who lives in the guest house was just sitting there watching me dance around all ugly the whole time. And he was bringing rent to my mother-in-law, and so I went and talked. He made it weird. He wasn't being funny about it, but whatever, who cares? But the wedding was really nice. We had a good time. My wife was a bridesmaid because it was her half-sister getting married. So we hung out with all of them. We were there all day at the ceremony and then the luncheon and the reception that night. But it was funny, and I'll try to be careful with this. It's up north in Arizona. So if anyone knows, it's a lot of like country people. And it was so interesting to see that, like how different the people were up there versus where I'm used to. All the guys had mullets, trucker. I mean, it's a wedding. All the guys had either trucker hats on or cowboy hats. and then jeans and boots. And that's so funny to me. It's just not something I'm used to. And at the wedding reception, you know, they're playing like normal wedding songs, whatever. And they're having fun. People are dancing around. And then I swear to you, dude, someone put on a like country song, not even a cool one. And everyone cheered, bro. They were stunned. I swear it was like, brow. And they started going crazy. They got so happy, which is so weird to me. Like country is so boring in my opinion, but also at a wedding, like why? It's not a dancing song. But when we were there, I was talking to my buddy and we were messing around at the thing, talking about how they're all cowboys. It's so funny. And I swear I met like country guy, patient zero. He was wearing a trucker hat, camo hoodie, and he had like a little tiny goatee thing and then boots. And I swear I heard him talk about their black Dodge Ram, dude, the whole time. Every guy up there has a black Dodge Ram. I don't really know what the deal is. I wonder if they like work real hard at their job so they can save up and get like the big pipes that shoot black coal out of the truck. You know what I mean? They're like, man, I'm having a hard day at the coal mine. Ting. Like, and like, it's worth it for this to roll coal on everybody. It's so funny. But like, whatever, you know, I bet they were looking at me like, who's this guy with, because I was wearing a hoodie with like the strings tied in a bow or whatever. I bet they're making fun of me and they're like, who's this guy with his pants rolled up? You can see his white socks. I bet, does he know you can see his socks? It's just so different, you know? But it was cool. We were there all day. I was really tired and like starving at the end. The reception, the wedding was great. I love that family a lot and I have no complaints at all, but I was really hungry at the end. We'd been there all day. And so my wife and I left to go get some food. Like when we were done, we left to go get some food and we got food for a few of the other people that were with us. So one of my brothers-in-law and his friends and one of his friends, I mean. So we got our food and their food. We got like five meals. I think it totaled like $35 at Wendy's. And we pull up to the window. The guy gives us one back, dude. He's like, oh, here you go. I'm like, this is all our food? He goes, yeah, yeah. And he shuts the window. They'd only given us like two burgers and one thing of fries, not even the rest of the meals. We had to sit there for 15 extra minutes and kind of get in an argument with this guy and be like, dog, like, where's our food? And they were acting so annoyed about it. And I have such a hard time with that. Like, fast food workers, I know it's so hard. And so I really try to be nice and I lay it on a little too thick. You know, I'm saying sorry to them, even though they give me my food. I paid $35. You're not going to give me my food. But it was frustrating. It was a cool trip though. We were sick last week. So we were all just kind of hanging out this trip. We didn't really play sports. We were busy with the wedding. And because we were relaxing a lot, I was up there. I spent most of my free time actually writing jokes, which is cool. It's been really interesting and cool the past, I mean, it's almost been a month of since I did the first time I did stand-up. I guess it's only been a few weeks. It doesn't matter. But it's been fun writing jokes and messing around with that and preparing for the podcast and little stuff. This comedy stuff has been really cool and exciting for me. I've enjoyed it a lot. But right now, I'm preparing like a 10-minute set. I'm trying to have enough material, but I've been messing around and getting some new jokes and trying to figure it out. And have some open mics planned so that I can work these jokes out. And I really wanted to talk about this on the podcast. So last week I did an open mic, or this, a few days ago, I did an open mic here in Arizona. I went to Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Glendale. It was cool. Really cool place. It was a lot smaller than Stand Up Live where I did it the first time. And it was interesting. The whole process was just kind of weird. You know, like the first time I did stand up, I was really nervous about it for like the whole week before leading up to it. My stomach hurt all day, every day. I didn't sleep at all. I was kind of in a bad mood about it. And I was constantly like running through my jokes and timing it and making sure I had it all down. Excuse me. And so I was really nervous about it. Couldn't stop thinking about it. And then it was great when I did it the first time, you know? And I wanted to talk about the first time I did stand up too. It was really cool. I don't know who cares about this, but who cares? I care. It was really cool because like I've heard about all these comedians doing comedy and heard their stories about stand-up and all their different things about it. And it was really interesting to be on that other side of things. Like I showed up to the club the first time and they showed me to the green room and I like got to see that and meet the promoter and meet the showrunner and do the whole thing. It was really cool seeing how the like process goes, and my set went really well, at least based on like what I was nervous about. It went better than I thought it was going to go, which is good. I didn't bomb. So that was good. But anyway, the first time was really interesting. There was a lot of firsts for me. And then I did open mic. The open mic I just did, just barely, like I said, was really different. It was interesting. I wasn't nervous at all leading up to it. I knew what to expect. I had a little bit of confidence left over from the first show. And it was scary, though, because I was trying out a new joke. So I went to this place and just did a three-minute set. The whole point of the set was just to try out the new joke, which took about 2 minutes. And then I just closed on one of the same closers I did in the first set. And it's funny because it's a smaller room. The crowd was different. It was an older crowd and it was more intimate. The stage wasn't high up. It doesn't matter. It was really different than the first show. And it's funny because I got up on stage. First thing I said was something about, oh, I'm really happy because I came here with my wife, and they like cheered or whatever. And I said, yeah, I don't think it's out of love. I think she wants to watch me eat shit in front of a bunch of strangers. And I got a big laugh. And then guess what I did, dude? Ate shit in front of a bunch of strangers. I talked about how I didn't bomb on the first set. And then guess what I did the next week? I bombed. I felt like I really bombed. I was on stage and I was doing the thing. It was a smaller room. I felt like I was bombing. It felt really quiet. And I like got off stage and we left. I didn't even stay for the rest of the show. I should have. I felt rude about that. But my wife recorded it. I watched it and I didn't bomb. Like, people were laughing when there were punchlines and stuff. It made me feel a lot better to watch the video, but it's weird how you can't tell on stage at all. At least I can't tell at all. And it makes me think of at the first show, I know I'm jumping around. There was one guy who really bombed. No one laughed the whole time. And it's okay. He's a nice guy. And we were talking after and he was talking about like, yeah, I think I did great. And that's so weird. Like, it's fine, but it's crazy how when you're on stage, you can't tell at all. So I kept asking my family and friends who came out to watch me, like, did I do okay? It's hard to tell. It's so weird. I've heard comedians forever talk about how you're kind of like disconnected up there. Some people think you're doing great, or some people think they do great, but they didn't. And some people think they bombed, but they didn't. And it's really interesting. It's been cool to see, and I'm excited to keep learning about it. I have more open mics set up in the coming weeks, and I have that show on the 24th I'm excited about. But real quick, let's just do an ad read, and then we'll get into that. This episode is brought to you by Evora. Evora, the self-expression brand. They create opportunities for self-expression through daily wearables that you customize. In their store, you get to design and create your own sterling silver ring. Book your spots online, go into the store on your book date and time, pick your stone and metal options, and with the help of an Evora team member, create your ring. Their store is in Gilbert, Arizona, right by Backyard Taco on Higley and Ray. It honestly is a perfect date night, girls night, or night out with friends. Go make a ring that fits you. Go today and book your spots online by going to evoracompany.com. That's evoracompany.com. All right, so where was I? Talking about the show on the 24th. I'm really excited about it. A lot of people have been saying they want to come out, which would be really cool. This whole process of starting comedy, doing the podcast, doing all this stuff has really been a lot of fun and really exciting. It's all new for me and something I really didn't expect. And I'll have to talk about this more in depth one of these times. Last episode, I talked about religion for a little bit, talking about how it's been scary to do all this stuff and be myself, because I know a lot of people in like my immediate circle, people I grew up around, aren't really going to appreciate it. And people have reached out and said that they didn't appreciate the language and stuff like that. I talked about how scary it's been. And I actually have got more, I had more people reach out regarding the 5 minutes of religion I talked about last episode than anything else, the rest of them. And I really want to get into that another time. But what I want to say is I want to say thank you to everybody who's been so supportive and nice, because this is cool for me. It's a dream. I've always wanted to do these things. And anyone, to the people who reached out talking about how they've had similar experiences with religion and not being accepted because of whatever, and then you can't be yourself. I don't know. We'll talk about that more later. But for right now, I have a poop story for you guys, and I'm very excited about it. One of my buddies, I'm going to keep it anonymous, but one of my buddies sent me a thing, and I haven't read it yet, so I'm excited to read it right now. All right, so this is what he sent to me. He says, it was a brisk Christmas Eve's morning a few years ago. A couple friends and I met up to spend Christmas Eve together off-roading and doing cool shit in a different city. The day was full of good laughs, good memes, and crappy spicy gas station / carnival food. Night approached and we all left, back to our homes to spend Christmas Day with our families. Me and another buddy took a public overnight bus because we were headed to the same city. Neither one of us had a car, but our houses were close to bus stops, so this seemed like a great economic idea. This bus ride was scheduled to take a little over an hour. My friend instantly went to the back of the bus and passed out. I sat in the middle next to a phone charger, but nearly every seat was available. It was a huge bus and probably no more than seven of us. We sat down in our seats and the bus took off. Man, I'm loving the... By the way, let me interrupt this real fast. The caliber of story writing in this is amazing. And the last episode too, if you're going to send in... A lot of people have been sending in poop stories or bathroom stories. This is the caliber that you need to do because it's perfect. I love it so much. So where was I? He says, we sat down in our seats and the bus took off. I was exhausted but felt too stressed to let myself sleep in the off chance I slept through my stop. About 5 minutes or so into the drive, my stomach started to hurt. My belly started to feel hot and I started getting sweats even though the bus was cold. I instantly started to fear for my life. I didn't have an overwhelming need to poop, so I figured it must just be gas from all the fried food. I weighed the pros and cons of letting out a fart in my mind and decided to go for it. I lifted up my leg ever so slightly and slowly pushed out a fart. The smallest and most unsatisfying fart came out, but I successfully released a fart. With more confidence, I pushed a little harder. I felt a little squirt, so I clenched my butt cheeks in a panic. No amount of clench could help me. My body took over, my brain felt like it was temporarily paralyzed, and I unloaded a massive diarrhea right in my pants. The bus instantly filled up with the most ungodly, horrific smell. I was stunned, disturbed, and had no idea what to do. There was no bathroom on the bus. I had no napkins, no change of clothes, and no way to clean myself. So I sat in my massive shit the rest of the way. It was another 45 minutes before I got off the bus. I just sat in my spicy diarrhea for 45 minutes, trying not to cry out of embarrassment, disgust, and overall discomfort. When we finally got home, my friend brought up how bad the bus smelled. And I waddled home pretending like I didn't know what he was talking about. I got home, cleaned up, noticed a gnarly rash on my butthole that took weeks to go away. I had weird poop problems for months after that infamous day. Worst Christmas ever, LOL. Oh, man. That made me happy. I love that. I have a lot of really long ones people send in that I haven't read yet because I want to read them for the first time on the mic. So keep sending them in. I know I posted about it today. But I love doing that. I think that's a cool thing to do at the end of each episode. So for now, that's the end of this episode. I don't know. This one was kind of jumbled, and I think that's okay. I'm still learning how to do this. I'm still getting into the groove of things, and it's fine, honestly. I think it's fine. I don't know. I still had fun doing it. I have a lot of fun doing the podcast. I look forward to it every week. And I hope you guys liked it. Tell your friends about it if you want. Come hang out. You can follow me on the Instagram at Jordan R. Quent. Or on the podcast Instagram at Quintessential Pod. Subscribe to all the whatever. Subscribe on the things. What are they called? Streaming services and rate and review. But I had a lot of fun. I'll see you guys next time. And that's it. So bye.